Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We continued our study in Psalm 119, and it's been a long time. We've had the series over the summer, of course, on Satan and battling the adversary, but you have your sheet there. We continued our study following the Hebrew alphabet, Jod, J-O-D. Actually, it's pronounced Yod, amen, J-O-D, by looking with the psalmist who was in good company. This is just a review of our last lesson, verses 73 through 80, because of his trust in God's Word. Let me just say this, you're always in good company when you're trusting in God's Word. Amen. You say, well, it seems like I'm the only one that's trusting in God's Word. You know, Elijah thought the same thing, didn't he, Brother Lowell, a few years back? And what did God say? He said, listen, I know you've been zealous for me, but I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You know, every time I think about the idea of the local church, and I thank God for Loomis Park Baptist Church, I really do, ladies and gentlemen. But you know, there's other good churches down in Georgia, or New Jersey, or the Philippines, or South Africa, or Hungary. There's other congregations, little bodies of believers just like us, that really still believe the Bible. Amen. In good company. And so the psalmist shows us, and I'm going to go through these quick because it's a review. So you write fast, I'll talk fast. Hallelujah. The Lord's hand, verses 73 through 75. And he sees the Lord's hand in making, verse 73. Motivating, verse 74. And molding him. You can look those up on your own time. Secondly, he shows us the Lord's heart. Okay, he wanted the Lord to, first of all, show his love, verse 76, and then share his love with him in verse 77. So the Lord's hand, the Lord's heart, and then the Lord's help. He desired to be successful in the fight, secure in the fellowship, and sound in the faith. Amen. All right, moving on to verses 81 through 88 here. In this portion of this great psalm, the writer easily communicates one of the most universal of all human conditions. And you know what it is, folks? Trouble. Trouble. Amen. Trouble. And he you can see that here all through this text that we're looking at. First of all, number one, we look at a troubled soul. A troubled soul. Look, if you would, he was in need of, first of all, verse 81 says, my soul fainteth. He was in need of revival. And really, we see two things here in verses 81 and 82. It says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. And we see here a fainting soul. You know, every time we read salvation, carries with it several different things in the Bible. Of course, we know of salvation as being saved from the power and penalty of sin. Amen? Amen. There are also times when you read in the Old Testament that someone desired to be saved from sorrow. A sorrow had come upon them. And I believe here in this text here, we not only see salvation from sin and sorrow, but we see salvation from situations. Didn't we hear that during prayer time? Come on. Pray for a favorable result here. Nothing wrong with praying like that. Nothing wrong with praying like that at all. Let your requests be made known to God, Philippians 4:6 tells us. It's okay to pray and say, Lord, please, I'd like a favorable result. We know behind all prayer is thy will be done. Amen. We understand that. But here, we see him in need of revival, a fainting soul, longing for a work of God and saying, Lord, please save here, deliver. Amen. But then we see B, a failing sight, looking for a word from God. Says there in verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? The Psalms are so great. They're so personal. Where are you, Lord? Where are you? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
What? When are you going to show up? Come on. Why? What is this product? Amen. It's a troubled soul. It's a troubled soul. Hey, you been there?
We have.
You might be there right now. Amen. A troubled soul. And he uses the illustration here, and we titled this lesson out of verse 83, and that is, he says there, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, to us, that wouldn't make a lot of sense because we picture like a little Coke bottle and smoke all around it. And you say, well, what is that? But a bottle in Bible times was different. It was a skin, like a wine skin. If you've ever seen one of the old bottles, it could carry wine, it could carry water, it could carry milk, and they'd squeeze it. But a lot of times what would happen is that skin would absorb the smell of what it was around. And so he says here, I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. He not only was in need of revival, but number two, he was in need of restoration. My mom's not in here tonight, God bless her. She had heart failure in the dentist chair 10 years ago. And after 40 years of smoking, she quit and that was it. Never touched another one. She had a heart failure in the dentist chair and couldn't breathe, couldn't catch her breath, and that was it. Some people get hypnotized. My mom goes to the dentist. Hallelujah. Amen. So all of a sudden, my mom begins to say to me, honey, I can't believe how bad your dad smells of smoke. And I said, forgive me, I don't often do this, folks, but I said, hey, that's my whole life.
Yep.
I was two of you. It looked like chimneys, you know, just smoke. Literally, we moved a picture one time, and it was unbelievable.
Yep.
It was white behind the picture, and it was yellow all around it. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, look, I'm become like a bottle in the smoke, and that smoke is contaminating the bottle. And listen, don't you feel like that sometimes, Christian? You feel like this world just constantly is like smoke, and we're the bottle, amen? And it's just constantly, but here's the good news, you know what? The cleansing power of the Word is greater than the contaminating power of the world.
That's right.
Hallelujah, amen? So he said, I need restoration. That's what revival is. Getting restored. And praise God, anytime we want with God, we can get clean. Amen? You can get that smoke smell off. Now, if you're smoking, it's going to be tougher for you to get it off. Amen? So he's in need of restoration. A troubled soul. In need of revival. In need of restoration. Secondly, we see not only a troubled soul, we see a trying situation. Verses 84 through 87. And again, I make mention of the situation going on in our country where a person was jailed for refusing to issue a license to two people of the same sex. They weren't reproved. They were jailed. Let me just say this sidebar. There have been some horrible Supreme Court decisions over the years. Some horrible ones. I'll give you four. Dred Scott v. Sanford, where they said black people were 3/5 persons. That was a Supreme Court decision. It wasn't a legislative action. The Supreme Court said that. It led to another horrible decision called Plessy v. Ferguson, in which the whole South segregated. Because of the Dred Scott decision. Well, we don't want to mingle with 3/5 persons. Huh?
Yeah.
And for 50 years, until a lady named Rosa Parks refused to get to the back of the bus. Refused. That stood. There was another decision, 1944. Some of you old-timers may remember. It was called Korematsu versus United States, 1944. You know what they did with all the Japanese on the West Coast? They interned them. They took away their rights. Like that. Supreme Court did that. And then, obviously, we all know Roe v. Wade. We talked about it all day on Sunday. Folks, the Supreme Court doesn't always get it right.
No.
And we ought to obey God rather than men. Yes, thank right. you very much. I'm all for Romans 13. I'm all for it. Listen, I think you ought to drive the speed limit. I think you ought to pay your taxes and not a penny more. Hallelujah. Amen. I think you know, when it comes to licensing and things like that, I think we ought to do our part. But when they ask me to break God's law, I say no. I say no. And here is this trying situation. I'll go quickly here. There's a seeming delay in verse 84. It's interesting. Verse 84 is the first verse in this whole psalm where the Word of God is not mentioned in some form. There's only a couple verses in this whole psalm, which is all about the Word of God. It says, "How many are the days of thy servant? When will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me?" So there's a seeming delay. You ever feel like God's late? Several times. Feel like God's late. There's a seeming, that's a trying thing. God, when are you going to show up? When are you going to be here? Amen. But then there's also a systematic deceit. Verse 85. "The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law." That's what the proud do. Systematic deceit. And that's a trying situation. I don't know about you. I try to be a trusting person, Brother Hauser. Amen. I try to be a trusting person. It's terrible when you're a trusting person and someone literally lives in deceit and lies all the time. Terrible. So there's a seeming delay. There's a systematic deceit. There's a serious danger. In verses 86 and 87, it says, "All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully." And then it says, "Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts." There's a serious danger in what he sought. Listen, he didn't pray, "O Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thou that flungest the stars by thy word." You know what he said at the end of verse 86? "Help me." You know, when Peter started drowning, boy, he didn't break into the doxology. He said, "Save me." Boy, that's when you know you're in a serious situation. The prayers are quick. I had this years ago. I think it was one of my first times in Gaylord, and I was real glad to leave. I had an auto wreck at 65 miles an hour. I hit black ice going around a corner in Gaylord in 2004. And I was driving down the highway like this, except the highway was over here. And I went down into an embankment, and Brother Howard, just before I did, they said, "You're not supposed to do this," but I didn't know what I was supposed to do when I was getting ready to have a rollover accident. I'd never been through that before, amen? I braced myself against the wheel, and I said, "Lord, please help me." That's all I said. I have to tell you this, folks, I was so glad that nothing else came out of my mouth. I was glad that's what was in my heart. When you get in a situation like that and God squeezes you, what comes in is what comes out is what's in there. If it would have happened 10 years ago, I'd have tell you something else would have probably said. But I said, "Lord, please help me." And I rolled. I had time to just say a few words, Brother Merrill, just a few words. Lord, and here's the psalmist. We don't know who. He says, "Help me." Serious danger in what he sought. He sought the help of the Lord. And then what he survived there in verse 87. "They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts." Brother Leonard mentioned his prayer, just trust in God. Trust in God. So, serious danger in what he sought and what he survived. And then lastly, a troubled soul, a trying situation, and praise God for this, a trusting saint. "Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." You know, it says in Matthew that Jesus said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" May it be said by this crowd of 60 or so, and I know we've got more on the other parts of the building, may it be said that we're trusting saints tonight. We are saints. Oh, not in the Catholic sense, but we've been sanctified. We've been set apart. We're the saints of God here at Loomis Park Baptist, and may we trust Him more today than we did yesterday. Father, thank